that have no testimony. Now, I'm not talking about falsely judging people, folks. I'm not saying that. But here's my question. The music that you listen to, even if it's so-called Christian, do you know that those artists are saved? Do they have a clear testimony? Do you know that they're separate from the world? Can you tell by looking at them that there's something different about them? Are you following me tonight? Anybody with me out there? Can you tell something's different about them? Now, I don't care what anybody says. Anybody's welcome in this church. God knows my heart. But we're not going to have somebody up here. I'm talking about a man with hair hanging halfway down his back and an earring coming down and head banging. It will never happen at this church as long as I'm here. Now, it's not going to happen, folks. Now, praise God, we've got the music director we have, because I thank God he's not, I mean, he's not, I mean, can you imagine him up here head banging? He's helped us around here with that. He really has. I praise God for that. But our singing's going to stay the same. Do the people you listen to have a clear-cut, undefiled testimony? Somebody says, you don't have any right telling me what to listen to. I'm not telling you what to listen to or not to listen to. I'm just simply asking you a question. Maybe that's the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to godly music? Now, do you not expect at Buffalo Ridge, whenever you come, that you're going to hear some godly Christian music? Is that what you expect? Amen? Then all I'm trying to encourage you tonight. This shouldn't be discouraging, I hope. If this is discouraging you, why are you here? I mean, honestly, I'm trying to encourage the church with some of these things, that our singing is going to stay the same. Amen. Amen. Singing is going to stay the same. The bottom line is, in the midst of a generation where churches are going to contemporary, gospel rock, etc., our church, here it is, God helping us, is not moving away from the great hymns of the faith. They're going to stay right there in the pews. We're going to sing them. How in the world can you beat nothing but the blood? How in the world can you beat "On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand"? How in the world can you beat "Great is Thy Faithfulness"? How can you beat those songs? You can't. So why change it? We're staying the same there. Number one, stay in the same in salvation. Number two, in Scripture. Number three, in singing. Number four, let me go ahead and duck here a little bit, okay? We're staying the same in standards. Amen. Now, by this, that's not a bad word. What I mean by standards, I'm talking about leadership requirements, and I'm talking about like church outings. Now, let me pause before I proceed any further and say this. Every single solitary person that walks in those doors are welcome at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Every single one of them. Every one of them. I don't care what they have on or don't have on. Because their need is not to get dressed right. Their need is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. So understand what I'm getting ready to say about standards has nothing to do with imposing this at the front door of the church. We don't do that. Everybody understand what I just said? We don't do that. I'm talking about leadership. In other words, if you're a leader, there are certain standards that you're to upkeep, and they're not changing. Matter of fact, they may be added to. Don't let that scare you. I'll explain that later. But I'm saying to you here that we are not going to let the world dictate our standards at this church. We're not going to do it. Let me say this to you. One of the hardest things that a preacher has to do is to enforce standards. It's one of the hardest things. But can I help you with something? Please understand that the standards that we hold our leaders to and the standards that we put on church outings and that we ask you to do, please understand our purpose in it. Our purpose is not to lord over you. God knows our heart. Our purpose is to please the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Does it hurt you to have high standards? Does it hurt you? Absolutely not. Now stay with me here a minute, because I want you to see my heart in this. Some people would come up here and thank God preacher has not done this. He's taught me in this. That you don't come and bless God, here he is, all this kind of stuff. He's very loving in this. He was firm but loving. And you taught me a great deal about this. And I appreciate it. What I'm saying to you about standards staying the same, we're not going to let the world dictate. We're going to let the Word of God dictate. Now, you're not going to turn in your Bible and say, thou shalt not wear this. It's not in there. But what we choose to do, and please understand our philosophy around here, we're taking the high road. That's a Pastor Sexton statement that he pumped into us at college. Here's what he meant by that. He's saying taking the high road is this. He said it's not choosing the good over the bad. Anybody can do that. It's choosing the best over the good. Do you see the difference? There's a big difference. Anybody can say that's bad, I'm not doing it. This is good, I'm going to do it. But we hold our leadership and our church outings to the high road. In other words, we're going to do the best we can. We don't want to just get by with, oh, that's good. No, we want to choose the best. You see the difference? Yes. And don't you think the Lord deserves that? Right. Sure he does. Sure he does. By the way, if you teach a Sunday school class, it is an exalted privilege that God Almighty has given you to get up and take the Word of God and tell those little boys or those little girls or those adults, whoever you, what an exalted privilege to be able to tell somebody else what God said. What a privilege. What a privilege. Why not do your best in standards? Why not make it a requirement that if you're going to teach a Sunday school class, you're not going to drink alcohol? Amen. Why not make it a standard that if you're going to teach a class, you're not going to smoke cigarettes? Ladies, why not make it a requirement, a standard, that if you're going to teach, now I'm not talking about a 10, but if you're going to teach, that we're going to ask you to wear a dress. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Somebody says, wait a minute, I'm free. Where's the Christian liberty around there? Somebody who says that does not know Christian liberty if it reached up and bit them. I'll explain that to you in just a moment. What I'm saying to you is that standards is hard to enforce. It really is. But by God's grace, we're going to have the standards high around here. Why? I hope you're getting it. Why do we do it? Why do we do it? We do it because we want God to bless. We do it because we're trying to please God. We want God to have a smile on His face. And by the way, what is it hurting you to do the best instead of the good? Are you following what I'm saying? Are you seeing my heart a little bit tonight in this? I'm not trying to do that. By the way, we'll never ask you to do something that we're not doing ourselves. I'll be honest with you. I'd rather be up here tonight in forget it. But these things sometimes make you feel like you're hanging yourself to death. You know what I mean? Why am I doing this? Am I dressing this way for you? No. Let me ask you a question. What do you expect your pastor to be in when you come and I stand in that pulpit? What do you expect? Are you saying that there's a standard in your mind for me? Huh? Right? There's things you expect out of me, right? Why? I thought I'm free. You can't tell me what to do. Why do I do this? You listening? I'm not doing this to please you. I'm doing this out of respect to you. But the reason I'm doing this is because I'm trying to be the best I can be for Him. For Him. If He's the motive and He's the goal, it settles everything else in life. It really does. I'm dressing this way for Him. We hold you to standards in leadership for Him, not you, for Him. Because we feel like that's what pleases Him. By the way, any organization around the world has dress standards. Any one of them. Businesses, golf courses, restaurants, throughout corporate America. If you ever walked in somewhere and says shirts and shoes required? Praise God, we require more than that around here, I know. But it's interesting. The same man who would argue that he has to wear something to church would not debate a golf course standard at College Church. Did you hear what I just said? The same Christian who would argue for his biblical liberty would not argue if an employer held him to the same standard. Now, you understand what I'm saying? Why is it that people... Now, by the way, we don't have this here. Praise God. Thank you. I salute you. But why is it that there are people around the world that would criticize a church like ours for having dress standards for our leadership, but yet they abide by those same dress standards because they get a paycheck from it? Big difference there, isn't it? What's the motive there, I want to know? Is the motive money? Because as long as they get a paycheck, they don't mind it. But if they go to church and have to wear that, good night, that's betraying their Christian liberty. I'd like to ask that same person, won't you go tell your boss that he's betraying your Christian liberty this week? Would they do it? No. What am I saying? I'm saying that we ought to hold our standards high, and don't you think that our standards should be higher than the world's? Because our authority is higher than the world's. You see what I'm saying? By the way, let me say here, because I told you I was going to talk to you about this. I'm on my last page of notes here. That doesn't mean a thing. But let me say here that so-called Christian liberty, that's some terminology that's around today. It's being abused. Christian liberty is being used as a license for the things of the flesh. Galatians 5:13, For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Titus 2:11-12, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation that appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodly lust and worldly lust, by denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. You know what those verses teach us? That teaches us that God's grace does not release us to live any way we want to live. God's grace, it teaches us. It doesn't release us, but it teaches us to live under the authority of God. This is true Christian liberty. You know what true Christian liberty is? Tying yourself down to God. That's liberty. Liberty is when you say, yes, God, you tell me to go right, I will go right. That's liberty. But when people start abusing it is they think, wait a minute, I'm free, I'm a Christian, I'm free. And they think that means I can listen to what I want to listen to, I can go where I want to go, I can dress the way I want to dress. Nobody's got the right to tell me what to do. And folks like that have no idea what biblical authority is. Do you see their ignorance? Christian liberty does not set you free. It binds you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He makes it to where it's your decision. He sets us free from the slave block of sin. And He said, if you want to be free, He set us free from the penalty of sin and all this kind of stuff. But I'm talking about really be free and have the peace of God and true liberty. He said, if you want that, follow me. If you don't, go your own way and I'll chastise you. So what am I saying? You know why we have standards here? We don't want to see you spanked. We want to see you have all that God has for you. Amen? Are you with me tonight? Standards. The standards we set for our leadership may not get 100% agreement. I'm not going to ask you to agree with everything that we set before you. But please understand that I'm going to give an account for you. Boy, that just hit me, preacher. Hallelujah. I'm going to give an account for you. But you're also going to give an account for how you respond. And all I'm saying to you, I'm trying to let you know by now, and I hope you already know this, but everything we do with teacher qualifications, requirements, and we're going to be going back over these in the very near future, special meetings, it all makes sense. Please understand that my motive is not to hurt you. My motive is to please the Lord. And I'm trying to hold a high standard and wave the banner of holiness high. Why are we doing that? because we want to have power behind our witness. And we want our Lord to be glorified. I hope you see my heart. I hope you see my heart. Let me ask you, is God pleased with high holy standards? What do you think? Is He pleased with that? Then that settles it. You see what I'm saying? That settles it. And if that pleases Him, anything less that pleases us is sin. I'm just talking to you tonight. I hope you understand. Standards. Leviticus 27, 20, verse 7. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy. For I, the Lord your God, am holy. Or he said, for I am the Lord your God. 1 Peter 1, 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. 1 Peter 1, 16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You know, sometimes with a transition, changes come in these areas. Sometimes people want to know, will he change this? Is he going to change that? What's he going to do here? Let me just simply say this. In the coming months and weeks, you'll learn some things, you know, that God's laying on my heart. But I want you to know off the bat here that there's some major things that's staying the same. Church has been built on these major points that we've discussed, along with the Sunday school and along with soul winning. Now, the reason that I haven't devoted an entire point to Sunday school and soul winning is because what we want to do there is not necessarily stay the same, but increase. You see what I'm saying? In other words, we're staying the same in the Sunday school because the Sunday school is the best organization to build a church. You see? But we want to increase it. Want to add to it, all these kind of things. Soul winning. We don't want to stay the same in that. We always want to be increasing in that. You see what I'm saying? And all I'm saying to you is we want to, by God's grace, stay the same in these major areas and do more in these other areas like Sunday school and soul winning and others. We want to make the difference that God wants us to make. Now, I am not saying that I'm exactly like Preacher Lastly, because I'm not. I'm not. He's not me, I'm not him. And I am not saying that nothing will change or be different, because I'm different. But I am saying there are some major things that we're staying the same in. And I remember sitting in preacher's car. Preacher, I don't know if you remember this or not. This has been years ago. I remember sitting in preacher's car and telling him how we're going to stay the same in these major areas. And here's what he said. He may not even remember saying it, but here's what he said. He said, it's not because it's my way, but it's God's way. And that's what I want you to know. In the things that it's God's way, we're staying the same. In things that it's human, like he has ways that he went after people, I may have different ways that I go after people. That's not in the Bible. In the Bible, it's just go after them. You see what I'm saying? So please understand the difference. 2 Timothy 3:14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, the reason I want a preacher here, it's not to lift him up. But I'm going to tell you, what we have gone through is a very rare, rare thing in the world. And I wanted him here because he has earned the right. By the way, this is one of the reasons why I've asked he and Miss Lasher to stay. By the way, that was my idea. Do you realize that they were going to leave? Now, I'm not trying to make you feel weird here, preacher, but they were going to leave the church. Can you imagine that as of last Sunday, you never see them again? It'd be like a death took place. By the way, one way this could work is because I'm homegrown. If I was an outsider, it probably wouldn't have worked. But you see how God has orchestrated all of this? Honestly. And I know that in his mind, he knows these things. But I'm wanting the Holy Spirit of God to seal it on his heart. That these things that he's sweated over, that he's prayed over, that he's taught the church, that he's labored over, these things, preacher, by God's grace, we're staying the same. We're not changing. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So that you won't have to call me or come by or see me, I agree Amen. Amen. And I wanted him to be here to hear it.
Don't you think he's deserved that? Now, this is not for him, you understand. This is for the Lord. It's for the Lord. But these are byproducts. This is the Lord just reaching down and saying, it's going to be all right. What a blessing. What a blessing. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we love you tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us. These last two messages, so different. Not really just raring back and preaching, but just talking to the church. I feel like it's needed. And I thank you for how you've allowed me to do it. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless in these areas and help us to be faithful to you in these areas, realizing that these are the areas that you want us to say the same in. Father, help us to always have our goal and our motivation to be you, yourself. Bless us now. Please help us. God, lead and direct this church. God, lead and direct me. And help me to follow you. And Father, help us all to follow Christ and be fishers of men. We love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I appreciate you being here. I'm going to call the church into session tonight. Ask Brother Mark if he wouldn't mind to come. Have a brief business meeting about the budget. So I'm calling.